Blog Talk Radio.
I think that's all Tara Guy in the background hooting and hollering and clapping. How are y'all doing, everybody out there listening? Welcome to Blog Talk Radio, Rainbow Radio, very, very own installment of its Rhinestone Royal series. My name is Aubrey Sinclair. I am your hostess every third Wednesday of the month of this fabulous talk show, blog talk, podcast shenanigans. And welcome to Spill the Tea. We will be having cocktails. We will be gossiping. We will be talking shit. We will be spilling all of the damn tea, honey. I am on margarita number 2. Barbara could not be here with me this evening because she has to work a job, but she's quitting on Friday. So there is no handcrafted cocktails today. So I'm just drinking regular old margaritas in a styrofoam cup that I've got to go. But it's all gravy. But like I said, you're listening to the Rhinestone Royal series. This is Spill the Tea with Aubrey Sinclair, presented to you by Rainbow Radio and Southern Hospitality Productions. I hope you're all having a wonderful, wonderful month here in New Orleans. We just finished Southern Decadence a couple weeks ago, and that was absolutely exhausting. It took me a whole week to recover. Persona Shoulders was one of the Grand Marshals. Some of you probably know her. She did a fabulous job leading the parade. I actually marched in the parade. I'm a former Grand Marshal of Southern Decadence in 2014. This is my first year marching in the parade since I was Grand Marshal, and I decided to dress up as Persona, along with my friends Tiffany Alexander, Venus Santiago, and Mr. Frankie Fierce. So we were a whole gaggle of Personas, and it was just a tease. Took me a week to recover. I'm back at it. I'm back in the swing of things. You can catch me performing at the Bourbon Pub this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I'm back on the road. So follow me on Facebook if we're not friends. Follow me on Twitter. Follow me on Instagram. Aubrey Sinclair. That's Sinclair with an S-Y. And I'm so excited for today. One of my very dear friends is my special guest today, the fabulous Hunter Holloway. We'll be talking to her in just a few minutes. And if any of you know her or follow her on Facebook, it's going to get real. This is going to be no holds barred. No question is off topic. If you would like to call in and ask a question, send me a message on Facebook. It's not too late to send me a question. If you like to do so anonymously or you just want me to ask it, hit me up in my Facebook inbox or text my number if you're so lucky to have access to it, and we'll get your questions asked as long as they're not absolutely boring and stupid. Or if you'd like to call in, call the number on the flyer. It's 646-787-8636, and Tara can patch you on through as long as you know. Send me a message and say, hey, what's up? I want to get through and I want to ask questions. Oh, my God. Anyway, I'm so excited. I'm here watching this America's Got Talent shenanigans, this finale, so I'm a little bit distracted. I'm hoping that girl with those damn puppets wins. I love those puppets. Anyway, we're going to go to our first song of the evening, and then we're going to bring on my special guest, the fabulous Hunter Holloway. You're about to listen to Taylor Swift. Look what you made me do. Hit it, bitch.
you just made me die. I don't like your kingdom. You just made me do. I don't trust nobody, and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody, and nobody trusts me. I'll be the actress starring in your bad dreams. I don't trust nobody, and nobody trusts me.
Look what you made me do. Look what you just made me do. That was Taylor Swift, bitches. All right, I'm so excited. Our special guest is ready. She is on the line. She is primed and ready to go, and her pussy pops severely. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome the fabulous Hunter Holloway.
Hello, everyone. Aubrey, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you loud and clear.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God, what are you doing right now?
I am sipping on this cocktail, relaxing, chilling, and really excited to be on with you tonight.
Oh, that's fabulous. Is your cocktail carb-free?
Oh, no, girl. I don't think you can do a carb-free cocktail, can you?
I don't know. You can do a little skinny girl, a little vodka on ice, and throw it up.
Oh. I have a few more pounds to go before I could do a little skinny girl. I want to be a
Karen,
skinny girl, but I'm...
Little Karen Carpenter cocktail special.
Yes, come through Skeletor. Give it to me.
bitch.
Give me that. Come on, Skeletor Elu. Give it to me.
Okay, so we have several listeners dialed in right now. Some are listening in through our live stream on the Rainbow
awesome.
Radio website. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your career for those of you who are not familiar with you. I'm sure most people know exactly who you are, but let's give them the benefit of the doubt.
Well, Aubrey, as most of as you know and most people know, I am originally from Louisiana. However, I've lived kind of all over the country. I've moved for men, I've moved for jobs, I've moved just because I had a wild hair at my ass and wanted to, so I've kind of moved for different reasons, and I originally went to college to be a nurse, then I switched my major to English education, and I had about 12 credit hours left, and I was at the time in a relationship with a loser that couldn't keep a job, and I started looking for jobs online, and when I was probably 19 or 20, the idea of working in law enforcement and corrections came to my mind, but I didn't pursue it. And the opportunity did present itself, and I applied. And the prison paid for me to move to Colorado, and I became an officer, then a sergeant, then a lieutenant. And then I applied for a captain's position in Oklahoma for a prison there, and I got that job. And I was there for 2 years. My relationship ended, and then I moved here to Mississippi to be closer to my mother, and here I am.
There you are in all of your glory. And for the people who know you from your heydays of living in Louisiana and being in New Orleans, you were an entertainer down here. You won a few pageants.
Yes.
What are you, a former? Miss Gay Vucare?
Miss Gay Vucare America, Miss Atlantis, Miss West Bank Globe. And
Miss Atlantis.
Miss Atlantis was owned by Charles Villamur, which his family, I'm sure you know Charles, as a lot of people in the Louisiana area know. I mean, I haven't had contact with him in quite a while. He's been kind of incognito. But that was a pageant that he owned and that he put on, and it was held at Splash. And if I'm not mistaken, it was held the year of Hurricane Katrina.
That's what I see. So it's a real-life Atlantis pageant.
Oh,
are you the
yes,
last
girl.
Miss Atlantis?
The only, the one and only.
Oh, bitch.
I mean, my God. Now, that could mean two things. It could either, you know, I could either take it as an honor, or I could take it that I was so freaking awful that they could just never have the pageant again.
Well, you know, I'm still the reigning Miss Gay Central Louisiana America.
You?
Yes, 8 years running, bitch.
Oh, shit.
Eight years. I'm the queen of
all
Alabama.
All right, Miss Central. Come through, Miss Central.
Pineville. Bunky.
Baby, she's central. She'll get you right in the middle. Northeast, southwest.
So you have quite the following on Facebook for being rather outspoken and opinionated and not giving two shits. And I think that's probably why, part of the reason we get along so well.
I agree.
And, you know, it's pretty hard to offend either one of us. But you've been we have our moments.
Yes, we do.
You've been pretty vocal and out in the open on your Hunter Holloway page about your transition and all your surgeries.
Correct.
Tell us a little bit about that process. When did you first realize, as someone growing up in society, wait a minute, I'm not just a gay man, I'm a transgender woman? And just tell us a little bit about that process, because then you kind of went off the map for a little while, and then bam.
Correct.
There was all the time.
Well, if we back up several years back to when I was just, you know, 3-4 years old, as long as I can remember, I knew that I was different. I did not feel as though I was a boy or a male, however you want to put it. I didn't play with boys' toys when I was growing up. I wanted to play with, you know, Barbies and all of these other feminine toys. And I just always knew that I was different. And I could specifically remember when I was about, 10 years old, give or take, my sister, I only have one other sibling, and she's about 6.5 years older than I remember she had a little boyfriend. And we had gone, dropped him back off at his house, my mother, my sister, and I. And as he got out the car, I said, oh, you know what, sis, he's really cute. And my mom turned to me, and she said, oh, you don't say that about us guys. You're not supposed to say that. Because keep in mind, I do come from a very, I wouldn't call my family conservative in the political sense, but the women in my family are, let's say, much more conservative than I am, but that doesn't take much now, does it?
They're probably if they're anything like my family, my family's very religious, very Southern, very Bible-belt.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's certain ways that you behave and things that you say because you don't what will people think, or
absolutely
how will people react kind of thing.
And my mother would never admit that she didn't want people to know certain things. She would always put it in a way that was more, you know, oh, I worry about you and I want to protect you. And in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, yeah, that's true, but you're also embarrassed. Let's not, you know, deviate from the truth here. But anyway, then as I got older, when I was 16, I had my first, or 17, my first encounter, should I say, with a guy. And, you know, it obviously felt odd, but I think that's with any person, whether you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, your first sexual experience is always, you know, new to you. And from there, I had several different long-term relationships, but there was always something missing. I was never happy. The whole, I was never comfortable with the gay lifestyle, meaning, and don't get this wrong, I'm not talking about not accepting or comfortable with the community. I'm talking about my lifestyle at the time as a gay male. I didn't like it.
And it didn't feel right.
It didn't feel right, no. It didn't feel natural to me. And I always knew what I wanted and what I needed, and that was to live as a woman, but I kept convincing myself that that wasn't true. I kept convincing myself that it wasn't really what I should be doing. And probably around the age of 28, I knew that I needed to start doing what I needed to do to be happy. And I was prepared to lose anything or anyone for my happiness. And that's when I started taking care of business and doing what I needed to do.
And now look at you.
Exactly. And by far, even everything that I've been through and everything that I've done, I still don't claim to be exactly where I want to be, because I'm always growing to be bigger and better and you know, be the best woman that I can be. But kind of going back to where I left off, I knew that there were certain things that I was going to do that I couldn't be around my family while I do it. I knew that because of the way my family was and the way they are, that I'd have to slowly break it to them, but I didn't want to wait another minute living as a boy. So what I did was, and I have no problem getting personal, so I'll just put this out on the table. I was still living as a boy when I drove to Detroit, Michigan, and I had an archiectomy, which for those of you that aren't familiar with what that is, it's a surgery that removes a male's testicle. And I was going to college at the time. I had just lost my father. I was living as a boy, living with my mother, and I just up and went and had this done. Drove back home and was in the worst imaginable pain. And my mother had no clue that her son, her 27-year-old son, just went have his balls removed.
And get an old-fashioned castration.
Yes. And then, of course, everything just evolved from there.
When did you fully develop into the woman that you are today? Did you move away to have the rest of your transformation, or did you do that living with your mother, or...
No, I didn't do it living with her. Not long after the archiectomy or the castration, whichever terminology you want to use, I packed up and I moved away. I went to a college in Colorado. So that was sort of my excuse to my family on why I was leaving. and it was partially true. I was moving to further my education, but that wasn't my main goal. And I literally went from living as a boy one day to the following week enrolled full-time in college, working two jobs, and living as a female. So,
wow.
But as it seemed so much of a quick transition, it really wasn't, because I was preparing myself mentally and physically for that. And I was in Colorado, I don't know, give or take a couple of months, and I knew that I had to tell my mother. But my mom is not the type of woman that you necessarily feel comfortable sitting down in person or even having a phone conversation about this, because she is very argumentative. She is very opinionated. So I sent her an email.
Well, as we all saw on Facebook, your mother does not approve of your little costumes and outfits.
No, baby, she does not. She does not. She was not having the undesirables.
The prostitute,
yes.
Is undesirable as a Bourbon Street.
Yes, she does not. You know, this is so funny. When I first started doing drag, about 20 years ago, every now and then I'd buy myself a little something, a pair of high heels or whatever. And I always seem to end up missing a shoe. And I'm like, there's no way I keep missing one shoe and the other shoe is still here. Well, lo and behold, it was her throwing away my shoes. But she wouldn't throw both shoes. She would throw one. Like, and I remember one time there was a store. I don't even remember what the name was. And it wasn't a cheap store. I found this blue jean bustier that was real cute back in the day, and it wasn't cheap, and it went missing. And lo and behold, it was her that threw it away. She would just go in my room when I wasn't there and throw any drag stuff. Just throw it away.
We love her, though. And so you just sprung the whole transformation on her one day and said, Mama, here's your daughter.
Yes, I sent her an email and told her exactly what I had been going through, how I felt, exactly where I was at in life. And she surprisingly, to my huge shock, was 100% supportive, 100%. Now, we're talking about a woman that when I was in grade school, one day I put powder on my face, and she threatened to take me to church so I could talk to the priest. Yes, I swear to God, I remember it like it was yesterday because it was so traumatizing. She threatened to take me to church to talk to the priest about why I was being so sinful. So to have a woman suddenly, you know, accept something so huge. And let's keep in mind, when a parent deals with their child transitioning, it's not just, oh, my son's becoming a woman. For them, in their eyes, it's, I'm losing my son.
Yeah.
So, but she took it great. Everyone in my family has been 100% supportive, with the exception of my sister, who just recently came around.
Well, do you look better than her?
Of course, darling.
That might be why. All right, so now that we have all of the seriousness out of the way, let's get into some of our audience participation questions. Are you ready?
Awesome. I am ready.
I have a question from Brody Mesh. He wants to know, what pills do you take that make you feel so pretty?
Girl, what pills don't I take? That's the question. No, him and I joke around, and I obviously take Adderall because I have ADD. But, girl, those pills would be making you feel like you're on cloud nine. You just feel, woo. You know, it doesn't matter what comes your way, baby. You're ready to take it on. If there's a mountain in front of you, you want to climb it, bitch, well, climb that motherfucking mountain. You could do it. You want to go get another surgery? Well, by God, that Adderall gave you energy to go get that surgery. Go do it. But now let's keep in mind, dealing with Brody Mesh, you have to be on medication because you can't take him in a sober mind.
Brody has also asked, have you ever had your booty hole pounded the way you let your pussy get it?
No, I have not. I could say that at my age, I have never had a penis inside my butthole, ever, ever, ever. And that was another reason why I knew I had to get a sex change, because I'm like, you know, I'm wanting to live as a woman, but I don't think it's very feminine to do guys in their butt, and I'm sure as hell not going to let one do me in my butt. So let me go get this vagina right quick. And then now, for once in my life, I could finally just have some, you know, normal sex. My God, not have to put my penis in some guy's butthole or him want to put his in mine. And, you know, the concern and the fear of, like, pooping and, oh, my God, I couldn't even deal with it.
Well, you know, some people are into that kind of thing.
That chocolate fondue. Come on, Turd.
Come on, Hershey Fountain.
Come through, Miss Central Turd America. Yes.
Get up in mommy's turd box, bitch.
Yes. Come in this turd box.
Oh. Brody also wants to know, how many STDs have you had?
None ever, unlike him. You know, I don't mind doing certain things he does, but getting an STD isn't one of them.
How many STDs do you think Brody's had?
Oh, girl, I wouldn't even know where to start listing them. I mean, look at him. He can't be normal. He can't be healthy looking the way he does.
We also, I think we have on the line a live caller who would like to ask you a question.
Oh, fantastic.
I think Tara's going to patch her on through.
Okay.
Caller, are you there? Hello, caller.
Caller,
hello?
Caller,
are you there? Sable, are you there? Sable. Tara, is she on here? Sable, say something.
Sable, you better say something, girl.
Tara just said, say Sable. I don't hear Sable. Where is Sable?
I don't
hear Sable. Miss Sable Monet has allegedly called in to ask you a question. Is she on? Or is she being shy?
Sable, don't be shy, girl. Come through. Come through with your Elu, bitch. Come through. Come through, girl. Sable Monet, you better call back, girl.
Brody Mesh says he's on the line somewhere.
Oh, God. He could hang up. He could hang the hell on up.
Oh, maybe we'll hear from Sable in a little bit if she ever gets her shit together. Lisa Bowman has sent in a question.
Oh, awesome. I love Lisa.
She wants to know, how did you feel about your career as a male dancer at MRB in New Orleans?
Well, I would hardly call it a career. What it actually was, Lisa used to host a strip contest. I think it was weekly. I don't really remember because it was so long ago. I was actually underage. but it was held weekly, and every now and then I would go to try to win money because, you know, a boy needed money in his pocket to get on with his transition. But it was fun. I had such a great time. It was always great to hang around Lisa Bowman, who's such a respected pillar in the community, such a wonderful person. And that was actually where I first met her. So that was definitely a time in my life where I first was coming out on the gay scene. And really getting a feel for what it was all about. And what better way than to get half-assed naked on stage?
So what would you wear?
Oh, girl, what would I wear? I think I would just, from what I remember, wear like a, just some cute underwear or something.
Would you ever whoop it out like they do at the corner pocket?
Oh, girl, no. I was just an innocent little Catholic schoolgirl.
Oh, I see. Lisa Bowman would also like to ask, I'm pretty sure we know the answer to this question, is sex better as a gay man or as a heterosexual woman?
As a heterosexual woman. But, you know, that the answer to that is quite relative because, you know, what's better for me may not be better for somebody else. What I can say is that for me personally, I just feel more natural, more, you know, keeping in mind that being a transgendered female, though, isn't about genitals. It's about what you feel in your heart, what you feel in your mind, and what you know you are. And I'm a female. So therefore, being a heterosexual female, which is what I am today, this is the best way for me to have sex. You know, so obviously for me, it's much better than it was before.
Yes,
Miss Thing.
I think Sable is here. Sable Monet, are you here? Sable.
Oh, hello. Sable, don't do it. Oh, there she is.
Oh, we're here, Sable. Ladies and gentlemen.
What is going on?
Miss Sinla Pride.
Hey, Sable.
Sable Monet has called in.
Hey,
Sable, how are you?
I am wonderful. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Having a good old time with our sister, Aubrey Sinclair.
She's
a
mess.
Sable's won her a little pageant lately. She is
yeah.
Miss Sinla Pride. She is the pride of Central Louisiana.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Right.
Come through pride.
I know, right?
That's
double
awesome.
Central Louisiana representation.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
I had to follow in the steps of Aubrey, you know.
Oh, girl,
luckily,
it don't take much.
Luckily, I'm crowning someone this year, so.
Oh, yeah. You're not going to do like her and hold the title for 8 years?
No, not at all. The time has come.
I think Sable has a question for you, Hunter. Sable, what is your question?
So, you know, I love Hunter Holloway. I've been a big fan of hers for years. And I love her rawness and how she's not afraid and unapologetic. And so recently she made a Facebook post about crazy contacts. Now, girl, you know I'm all into them crazy contacts. And that might be how I feel my fantasy.
Well, that's good. That's great. If that's how you feel your fantasy, well, bitch, feel it. Put in two pair. Put in two motherfucking pair.
Sometimes I do.
Bitch, yes.
But how do you feel about the, they're not so much crazy, but they're over-exaggerated contacts for a pageant, maybe doll eyes. What would your take be on that?
Doll eyes.
Well, here's my thought on the whole colored contact situation is that I think sometimes if they are too, what's the word to use?
Psychotic.
Psychotic
looking.
It takes away from the person's actual look because you're so focused on those scary looking eyes staring right at you that you can't really focus on the overall picture. But, you know, obviously something like contacts, it's like makeup, it's like perfume, it's like clothes. Do what you do and enjoy it. Certainly my opinion, who gives a damn about my opinion? I post things because I find humor in it or it's just something I want to say, and I, of course, don't have a filter. But I think anyone that likes wearing colored contacts that look psycho or whatever the hell is their gig, by all means, you know, because if that's what you like if, and I'm not saying you necessarily, why should my post influence you not to do or wear whatever the fuck you want, you know?
Well, you know, I recently made a post about a couple of years ago about pink eyebrows because everyone was drawing on these hot pink eyebrows. And I'm like, girl, like, you know, what in the hell is up with all these hot pink eyebrows? Is this some kind of trend? And I remember at the time a couple of people who were drawing their eyebrows on hot pink got all butthurt about it and all sensitive. And I'm like, you know, bitch, I'm like, you know, just because I'm asking a question about hot pink eyebrows doesn't mean that what you're doing is wrong. You know, I mean, but if you're feeling some kind of way and some kind of sensitive way about your pink eyebrows, girl, you picked up that pink crayon and drew
and
the eyebrows on yourself hot pink. So if you
just,
want
you
pink
just,
eyebrows, own it. Girl,
you just brought up a very important point to be made. And I think that our community, the LGBTQ community, we're so used to our whole lives having to defend ourselves against prejudices, opinionated assholes, and whatnot. And what that does is it puts us on the edge of our seats with everyone. But we can't live that way. Because if you're always living on the edge and taking everything so damn seriously, you'll find yourself to be a very unhappy individual. What you said?
I said if that were me and I were drawing my eyebrows on pink and somebody's like, girl, what's up with these pink eyebrows? I'd be like, well, fuck you. I like pink eyebrows. I drew them on that way. If you don't like, go, you know, screw yourself.
Yes, I would send them a picture of me with pink eyebrows and my pussy out. How about this, bitch? I'm going to put some pink on my pussy for you, too. I'm gonna draw some eyebrows right on top of my pussy and send it to you, ho. How about this?
And put a color contact in it and say, look at this.
I'm gonna put a color contact on my clit, bitch. How about this?
With all
look,
of
look
it.
Look at this obnoxious blue eye. Bam.
Pulling on my damn butthole, too.
While we're talking about colored contacts, who are some of these colored contact offenders that you notice who do this besides Sable Monet?
You know, it wasn't anybody in particular. It was just in general. I've seen a lot of people that put these contacts in their eyes, and that's the first thing you see when you look at their pictures. You don't even really pay attention to their face, their hair, their costume.
Well,
you
know,
just see the contacts.
That's exactly
Shady.
Why Sable wears this.
Do what?
That's exactly why Sable wears this contact. That way you don't pay attention.
Well, you know, I have a very brick face, so I try to do everything I can to redirect the attention elsewhere.
Oh, Sable.
Well,
oh,
I've had
gosh.
So much fun talking to you, Hunter. It's been so nice to finally hear your voice. And
thank you for calling.
I'm a big fan, so...
Thank you
big
so much.
Here.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you for calling.
And I hope
okay.
to see you soon. I hope to see you soon, Sable, somewhere.
Definitely, definitely.
Sable is Miss Cinema Pride. She'll be giving up her title in, I don't know, a couple months or something. Stay tuned. Follow her on Facebook. Give up for Sable, the fabulous Sable Monet. That was the tea. Surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
I think it's time we take a little musical break. And then after that, we're going to be right back with some more questions for the fabulous Hunter Holloway.
Lights up movie, let the camera roll. Fast life moving, ain't no going slow. That's right, baby, you already know. You already know, hope you're ready, ready, steady, steady, rockin'. Let it go, get low, I just can't hold back and forth. Cause I'm the girl with soul, ain't controlling effects. So what the heck, the discotheque is the groove, it's the next. He's on the camera, breathe while I animate. I'm no amateur, I'm a laminate. Put my little noodle on a problem, then I drink about it. Drink a little, swig a little, sip a little, spill a little, feel a little loopy when I get a little tipsy. Bees got me feeling like a gypsy. Snowbird on a hookah got me feeling like a hipster. Trip it. Gone for a minute if you miss me. Now, Fergie back with with a bag full of tricks, he's wise. Dying some movie, let the camera roll. Fast life moving, ain't no going slow. That's right, baby, you already know. You already know, hope you're ready, ready, steady, steady, rockin'.
Yo, hey yo, let it go, let's go. I keep a bar like Esco. I wanna ball where the Nets go. I'm on stage just to stand where the guests go. Bitches is my sons, they don't wanna leave the Nets though. They like, oh, where the refs go? I got these hoes scared to pass, I got that intercept flow. I made a movie like Seth Rowe. And since I came in the game, they careers on death row.
Damn, they ain't seen Young Nicki in a week. 5 shows made $3 million a week. You are now looking at the best, the elite. Too bad you can't go and invest in critiques. I'm thick and petite, tell them quick, pick a seat. I pull up in a ghost, no, she's trick or treat. I know they on E, but I don't give a F though. Bad attitude, but my p is the best though.
Dying some movie, let the camera roll. Fast life moving, ain't no going slow. That's right, baby, you already know. You already know, hope you're ready.
The cake, but they can't get a crumb from the original sexual visual dope chick and all that good shit. Charismatic when I'm at it, when I add it up for mathematics, baby. Top game, I'm off the attic. There you have it, no dramatic, toes are static.
Pose for the cameras that it unvoking. Baby, I'm glamorous, unfolding. Grammys and AMAs, I'm hosting. Amazing the way I keep shit frozen. Cool, that's true. Got new shoes and a new attitude. Got my hair did, got a new hairdo.
Well, wasn't that something? That was Lil Diddy by Fergie and Nicki Minaj. You already know. That song was horrible.
Yeah.
That song was rotten, honey. I don't know who came
come
up with
through.
That.
At some point, I was kind of feeling it.
I think you should do that on Sunday, October the 22nd. For those of you who do not know, Hunter will be returning to the stage at the Bourbon Pub and Parade for Lipsticks on Sunday, October 22nd, along with a fabulous showcast of myself, Mercedes Ellis L'Oreal, and the one and only Nicole Dubois. That's your first time on stage in what, 3 years, 4 years? It's been
about 3 or 4 years. I thought it was like 5 years, but decaffeinated St. DeLorean, decaffeinated. And her husband sent me a message, and they're like, girl, we could swear we saw you like 3 years ago. And I got to thinking, and I'm like, well, that's the year I had my sex changed. So I didn't think I did it, but maybe I did. Who knows? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, whatever. I'll be on stage October 22nd.
We'll have to go check the record. So come on out to the Bourbon Pub and Parade in New Orleans and come see the one and only Hunter Holloway live and in living color on stage.
Yes.
You're going to be showing the pussy, is that true?
Oh, girl, I'm probably going to show it. You know it.
Is it
why
a wide
not?
Set vagina?
Is it what?
Wide set.
Oh, no, bitch. Ain't nothing wide about this. It's tight. Tight set. Tight set.
Oh, my God. So there's a, to me it's seeming more and more prevalent. You see a lot of transgender women who go through the complete sex change, ending up in relationships with transgender men. Have you ever felt attracted to a trans man? Or has your attractions changed since you've transitioned? Have you ever felt attracted to a woman? We've been seeing, you know, I know several people who are, their sex changes, and all of a sudden, bam, they're a lesbian. They like women. What's your opinion on all that, and how do you feel about it?
Well, let me first say I've always found women attractive. I've never titled myself as, you know, bisexual or gay or whatever, but I've always found women in some way, shape, or form to be attractive. And I'm not just talking about, oh, I think she's pretty. No, I'm talking about I want to kiss her. I want to, you know, do things with her, that kind of thing. But I have never had sex with a woman. The only experience that I had was when I was about 19. I was doing drag. I wasn't living as a woman. And there was this trans guy that I knew. And I went ahead and ate her out, you know, went ahead and ate that little cat out. Yeah, I went ahead and ate that little cat out for her, girl.
Got your little meow mix going on, honey.
But, you know, I had to do a little sniff test first, so I kind of rubbed it a little bit, and then I gave her a hug, and then while my hand was behind her back, I sniffed my finger, and I'm like, well, it don't smell like sardines, so let me go ahead and lick this cat right quick.
Does yours ever smell like sardines?
Oh, girl, every day it smells like sardines.
Come on, picnic tube salad.
Yeah, come through, sushi.
We have another caller on the phone for you that was ready to ask a question. Let's go ahead and catch her on through. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hello, caller. Oh, there's
Hello.
Tiffany Alexander is on the line.
Oh,
hello.
Wow. Tiffany.
Hi, hunty.
Hello, my love.
Hello, I missed a lot of the show. I forgot it was on, and I just called in from my car. I was like,
oh,
I missed it.
What kind of mother are you? I'm devastated.
I know. I'm horrible. I'm sorry. I had to run to the mall when I got off work.
Luckily, you can re-listen to it, the podcast on rainbowradio.com at a later date.
Okay.
Tiffany, do you have a question for Hunter? Yes.
Did you ask any of the questions that I messaged you?
No, I was waiting on you.
Okay. Hunter, I have a question.
Yes.
Since now you're a female, and I know you are performing in October at the pub, do you feel like that as a female now, and not a female impersonator, should you be entertaining as a female impersonator, since legally now you are a female?
Absolutely, because even though legally I'm a female, well, there's no kind of getting around the fact that I was born male and that I'm a transgendered female. So with that being said, I'm no different than any other female impersonator, and my anatomy doesn't define who I am as a person or as a female impersonator. So when I get on that stage, I'm Hunter Holloway, the same Hunter Holloway I was when I was living as a boy, or the same one Hunter Holloway when I had a penis. So, you know, yes, I think that I should still entertain if that's what I'm feeling like doing. And I'll never come back on the drag scene like I was before. I don't have a desire to. But I will enjoy every now and then doing it.
Well, you know, we recently had this past Sunday, Candy Stratton was in the show. And she is a complete woman also, but she's one of the premier Cher impersonators around.
Yes, such a talented,
and, you know, she's,
beautiful person.
You know, she's she lives her life as a woman completely, just like you do, but she still performs as Cher in different nightclubs. And I found it
very
completely shocking that she said, you know, it was on her bucket list that she had never performed at a nightclub in New Orleans, even though back in her heyday she had won several pageants here. She had never performed on Bourbon Street or any nightclubs, and she had always wanted to. So it was actually really great having her. So,
and as successful as Candy is, she also is one of, you know, she's a woman that has a full-time job as a flight attendant. So she definitely has her, you know, schedule filled up where she's a very successful entertainer, but she also has a full-time job.
That's awesome. Can I ask you one more question?
Yes, go in for the dirt.
Because I love you on stage. I've always thought your stage presence is amazing and always has been. Since you are a woman now, have you ever thought about maybe doing burlesque? Because I think that is something you'd really be good at.
No, I've actually never thought about it. But you mentioning it makes it quite interesting because it's an opportunity to, you know, still be a performer and it's still kind of in the same realm. So that's something that I could definitely look into. And there's actually a girl that I can't remember what her name is. She was in the Most Beautiful Transgendered pageant years ago, and she's now a burlesque star. She's got blonde hair. Gorgeous body. I can't remember her name, though. I'm drawing a blank on it.
Because to me, you're very Dita Von Teese, you know, and Dita Von Teese is beautiful, and you're just as beautiful, and your body is amazing. I think you would be I would pay to see you in a burlesque show. I think that would be fabulous, and I think a lot of
other
people would.
Blowing my head up.
No, I'm dead serious, Hunter. You know, I've known you forever, and your body is amazing. Your stage presence is amazing. Your ability to captivate an audience has always been there. And I just could see you doing that. I mean, I think people would line up.
Well, I appreciate it. You have so much confidence in me.
Yeah, do what?
Ask the best question.
I said you've always had so much confidence in me.
No, I really do because I've known you since you were, 16 years of age? So,
yes.
You know. When you
and
were
that was
a,
only,
a
what,
little baby.
5 years ago? For 5 years now.
5 years ago. Yeah, 5 or 6 years. Okay, one other question. Do you believe that your sexuality is between your legs or in your brain? Or do you think most transgender?
Well,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. You had another part of your question?
No, I was just going to say because I believe that most transgendered people that I've heard speak have said that it's in your head, not necessarily between your legs.
Right. Well, I think it's both because even though it's definitely in your head and in your heart, for me personally, I was not going to live the rest of my life with a penis between my legs. So, and you could kind of go either way on this. I personally think if you feel like you're a woman and you want to live your life as a woman, then you should take the necessary steps to be a complete woman, 100%. But to say that because you have a penis between your legs, you're not worthy of living as a woman or you shouldn't be, no, that's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that for me personally, I was not going to live the life of a woman with a penis between my legs. So it's both. I felt in my head and my heart, and I had to have that surgery to finish off how I was feeling and how I wanted to live my life.
You know, my sexuality is in my booty hole.
I know it is. And boy, is that booty hole a party.
Tiffany's sexuality is in the birdie mark.
She loves her the birdie mark, girl. That's
I love
a second
the birdie
home.
Mark. Yes, I love the birdie mark.
Speaking of birdie mark, what do you usually order from the birdie mark and from Clover Grill? And will you be featuring that during your trip to New Orleans?
Oh, girl, I love when I go to the Clover Grill, I'll get some hash browns, I'll get a freaking hot dog. Some fries. I'll order for like 5 people and eat it all by myself.
She will.
What about
Verdi
Mart?
Verdi Mart, you know, I had never even eaten from the Verdi Mart with the exception of when I'd go sleep at Tiffany's house, and she'd order. And so I'd order as well. And I think I would just get, like, a burger and fries. But
yeah.
Speaking of the Verde Mart, I don't think I ever saw Tiffany get more depressed and her life so devastated when the Verde Mart – wasn't it the Verde Mart that burned down years ago?
It reopened after Katrina and then caught on fire. Yes, I was devastated.
I remember. I mean, you were just down in the dumps, girl. I thought we were going to have to get you committed.
It's true, but it's back open. It's back open. When I'm in the quarter, I always stop by.
Tiffany,
I don't blame you. They have good food.
Are you going to ask the messy question you said that doesn't have to involve her vagina?
No, I'm not asking. No, because that's no.
About Oz.
Oh, about Oz.
Yeah.
I don't think it's messy because she said it. Hunter said it before. What exactly happened when you were arrested at or in front of Oz?
I was arrested by the side of the pub, actually, by the right across from the. Not across directly from Oz, but on the other side of the pub. And what happened was Dominique DeLorean, a good sister and friend of mine, we were outside of the pub, and a mutual friend of ours was arguing with her, and he put his hand in her face, and I thought he was going to hit her. So I started knocking the crap out of him, and a police officer happened to be on the corner of the street, on the corner of Bourbon and St. Anne, and that motherfucker came pick me up and arrested me in high drag.
But you were standing up for a sister. I could not remember the whole story. I thought you were standing up for somebody, but I couldn't remember exactly what
so
it was.
So you were standing up for Dominique?
Yes, I was.
Yeah.
Oh, how fabulous.
I sure
did
was.
Did she bail you out?
Well, she didn't bail me out.
Well, that's some rotted shit.
I was devastated. Girl, I beat somebody's ass for you, I go to jail, and you don't even come fucking bail me out. Thanks, bitch. But I love her. I love her. And you know, we've been friends for so many years, and I would do it all over again for her, or any of my friends.
Well, we love you, Oscar.
Speaking of entertainers, who would you say are your three most favorite female impersonators of all time or entertainers?
Well, Tiffany Alexander will definitely be one of them because she was the first person that I ever saw on stage, literally the first person I ever saw on stage. This was at Kix in Houma, Louisiana, and she was doing Dolly, and then she did a couple of other numbers, and that was my first introduction. That same night, I met Rest Her Soul, a beautiful individual, an incredible entertainer, India Sherry. No, she's still alive. India Sherry is still alive. I'm thinking of Crema, who passed away. India Sherry went back to living.
Does India Sherry
have a vagina? India Sherry, I think, had gotten castrated, but she didn't have a vagina. But she lives, to my knowledge, as a male again today.
She does. Yes, she reversed back.
But I thought she was so stunning, had such great stage presence, as did Crema. Crema Sherry performed with her that night. It was Tiffany, Crema Sherry, India Sherry, and I think Deidre D.
Yes.
The other person,
Deidre
other entertainer. Deidre D.
I don't think it was Deidre D. I think it was.
Girl, Deidre now gives out lunch specials as T.S. Diamond these days.
Who does?
Deidre.
Shut up.
Yeah, girl, I have to send you T.S. Diamond, honey. She'll do light housekeeping. She'll give you a bath. She is Homa's most hospitable hostess, honey.
Girl, don't lie to me. She's not escorting.
Bitch, I'm a centipede.
Oh, work me the fuck out.
So, who are your three most favorite people of all time? Tiffany and who else?
Nicole Dubois, whom I've been friends with for many, many years, and before I ever even really went out on the gay scene, I had seen a picture of her in Ambush magazine. It was a picture of her that Graham Studio One had taken of her, and she really was looking fishy, didn't have a whole lot of makeup on, and I thought, there's no way that's a guy. And then sometime later, I saw her at Angles for the first time in Metairie. And that's where we met, and we became friends, and we've been friends ever since. And the third one, I have to say, would be Nikki Rich. I always liked Nikki Rich. She was another one of the first entertainers that I saw when I came on the scene. Extremely talented. Another person that on stage is very captivating.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to say three were my favorites.
Love Nikki Rich. Yeah, she's still around. Every once in a while, she'll pop up on Facebook.
Yes. Yes, you're right.
Have you ever felt sexually aroused by Tiffany Alexander?
Daily. Bitch, I've been playing with my vagina ever since she got on the line, because that voice just.
What about
that
Nikki Rich?
Just,
you ever made you moist in the?
Oh, Nikki Rich is fucking me right now, girl.
What about Nicole?
Girl, Nicole. Well, I don't know if Nicole and I have ever had any type of sexual encounters. I can't really remember, you know. My memory is not serving me well on that subject. we may or may not have mistaken each other's penises for a Clover Grill hot dog. You know, when a girl's hungry, you know, certain things start looking like food that's not meant to be put in your mouth.
Who would you say, okay, this is the one question Tiffany would not answer when I had her on. Who would you say are the three worst entertainers in New Orleans?
Well, I don't think that to say worst entertainers, what I think is the worst is not necessarily the truth, but, you know, that could go either way. And I'm not really, I am an outspoken person, but I'm not the type of person to blatantly want to hurt people's feelings. So I probably wouldn't mention that, even though I do have my opinions on
who are your three least favorite. Let's rephrase it. Who are your three least favorites, in your opinion?
Okay. Well, I am not into camp drag. It's never been something that floats my, you know, it doesn't tilt my titty, camp drag. So I think someone like Ursuline Burgundy, who was so passionate about her art form or whatnot, I'm not saying I don't like her, but let's just be honest. That's not the type of drag that I'm going to sit and watch. But there are people that love to watch that kind of drag. I like glamour. I like beauty. And if you're not beautiful, bitch, learn to do your makeup and make yourself look beautiful. I mean, I'm not into the whole camp thing.
All right, that's one. Can you name two more?
Two more. No, I don't think there's anybody else that, you know. Can you think of anybody else that does camp drag?
Not on purpose, no.
That inadvertently does camp drag? That inadvertent camp drag?
Well, while we're on the topic of inadvertent camp drag, recently on Facebook you got a little tiff with Gia Giovanni. Can you elaborate on that?
Absolutely. Here's the thing. First of all, I don't take anything about drag or anything on Facebook seriously. There's nothing on Facebook that could ever make me emotional. But what I did post was, and it was literal, but it was also meant in a funny way as well, about entertainers who will have a show and they get on Facebook and they want to thank their mama, their daddy, their uncle, their brother, the lesbian at the bar, the lesbian that was taking a dump, the one that was sucking dick in the corner. And it's like, girl, okay, I'm all for a thank you, but my God, you didn't win an Oscar or a Lifetime Achievement Award. You did a fucking drag show. So I made a post about it, and she replied all emotional and all self-victimizing. I didn't even read the whole damn thing she posted. I read, like, the first sentence. And I replied, and I said something to the effect of, oh, bitch, take that drama somewhere else, like on the fucking stage where someone will give a damn and give you a dollar. And, you know, let me first say, I have nothing against Gia. I like her. I like her as a person. I like her husband, Lance. I've known him for years.
Tiffany
but
does,
if
too.
You're going to – oh, yeah, Tiffany knows him real good.
Oh, God.
But for me, if you're going to take something and break it down and be so emotional, girl, I ain't got time for you. I just don't have time for that drama. And if you're going to take everything you ever see or hear and take it personal, girl, you'll be miserable your whole life. It's not that serious. It's not that serious.
Tiffany, how do you feel about that?
No, I totally agree because, I mean, opinions are like assholes. Everybody has one. You know?
Exactly.
Well, and I had every opinion somebody had about me personally. I would have jumped off a roof somewhere. Somebody
right.
said something about me, tell them something worse about themselves.
Go ahead.
I would have been fine if she would have just said, bitch, fuck you and the horse you rode in on. But, girl, and that's great. That's great. But when you get emotional and you become this self-victimizing and all that tears and sadness, this is drag. This is drag. Drag. So while we are all appreciative of everyone that comes to our shows and we're very, very thankful, well, let's keep it cute and save the drama for somebody else, you know?
Well, I agree. I always thank people after my shows, always. But I don't go, you know, I just say thank you to the fellow entertainers who I perform with, maybe the bar owner and people like that. But I think a thank you is nice. Right, and I totally, and that's what Hunter's saying, and I agree. Sometimes people do get a little lost. Some of these thank yous I have read are
delusional.
Yeah, well, and they're like paragraph after, right, they're paragraph after paragraph after paragraph, and I'm like, girl, just, you know, like you said, you didn't win an Academy Award, you know?
And no one's even reading all that hot mess.
Right.
Well, you know, because of Hunter, I got blocked on Facebook again by her. So add her.
And that's another thing. And that's another thing, Aubrey. Let's talk on that for a moment. You know, I'm the type of woman, man, drag queen, whatever the hell you want to call me, because, again, I am not an emotional person. I don't get offended. But I'm the type of person, you know, just to use her as an example. Girl, I could see her in the bar tomorrow, talk to her, smile at her, because it's not that serious to me. I don't hold nothing against her. I don't hold nothing against anyone. I have been in the entertainment industry for about 20 years. Anyone that I have become friends with during that time, I am still friends with till this day. So it's not that fucking serious.
Love it. All right, we have, we're starting to wind down just a little bit, so I want to be able to get the rest of these questions on in. We're going to do a little name association. I'm going to name some names, and I want you to tell me the first thing that comes to your mind about these people.
Okay.
Are you ready? Star
I'm Alexander. Ready. Lover. And she's the brunt of all our jokes, bless her heart, and she takes them all, you know, just so well and just goes along with it. She's a perfect example of someone that, you know, does have a great personality and doesn't give a damn what you say or what you think. She just likes to laugh and have fun.
Lisa Bowman.
Love her, respect her. Another great person. She has truly, in my opinion, paved the way for entertainers in New Orleans. Lisa Bowman is someone that is an example to female impersonators, transgendered females. And she's another one that really doesn't give a damn what you think of her, but she will tell you off in a heartbeat. So, you know, I love her. I love her.
Bianca Del Rio.
Hilarious. I met Bianca when I first started doing drag. I think she might have started around the same time. I'm not sure. But Roy Haylock is an intelligent, talented seamstress, entertainer, just an all-around great person, and is another person that's taken wrong sometimes by people that want to take everything to heart and be emotional. And when you do that, you miss her gig. You miss what she's about. You miss her true talent, which is to tell you off, but she's not doing it to break your heart. She's doing it to make you laugh.
Well, you know, we need to get on the RuPaul, because when we say something hateful about somebody, we get called the C word by the public and get read the Riot Act, and she says something hateful about somebody and gets paid thousands of dollars.
Exactly.
Right.
So, bitch, I'm going to do it for free. I'm not going to pay thousands of dollars, but I'll do it for free. Now, granted, I'm not as funny. I'm nowhere as funny as Bianca Del Rio, but by God, I'll speak my piece and say what I got to say, and at least I'll laugh at it.
Persona Shoulders.
Persona is a mess. Just, and I mean that in a good way. I've known Persona for years and years. She is someone that when she's drunk, she could get on your last fucking nerve. But she is someone that, you know, if you need anything, drugs or whatever, she'll help. That. You want a little baggy bitch? That bitch will find you a baggy girl. She'll run around that quarter for days. And chances are she might have one in her pocket. You know, she'll give you that good old sister discount.
Christina Kane.
I think she's the only transgendered person that I ever had a crush on. Her and I go way back many years. We came out on the gay scene at the same time. We transitioned at the same time, and we every now and then tell each other hi. Somewhat lost touch, but I love her, I respect her, and she'll always be someone that I do care about as a person and as a friend.
Would you scissor her?
Yes, I would. Absolutely. You know, she's the only, backing up to that, she's the only transgender person that I have made out with, female. Yeah, but we didn't do anything sexual. It didn't go there.
I see. Simone Devereaux.
Another hilarious person, a good person, someone that I've known, again, for many years. I think at one point she transitioned, but then she went back to being a guy, and I don't know. I don't think she knows what she wants to do, but nonetheless, she's hilarious, and another person that is loyal to her friends and will always be there for you. I haven't spoken to her in years, but, you know, she's definitely someone that is a good memory of when I first came out on the scene and had great times with her.
Jasmine Essex.
Oh.
Jasmine has a great heart. What's so funny?
Tiffany, what's the first thing that comes to your mind?
What?
What you laughing at, bitch? What's your shady ass?
Because you're being so politically correct. Because you're being so politically correct with some people, you know, I totally agree with you, like with Bianca. Bianca's a bitch, but that's what makes Bianca what she is. But she will also be your best friend at the same time, you know? Jasmine, I tried to be her friend and was friends on and off, and just I wish she would, for somebody her age and who has been living as a woman for as long as she has been living as a woman, she needs to just find life and a purpose, you know.
And you know, for I don't know how many years ago, someone had brought it to my attention that Jasmine SX thought I didn't like her, and I just told a mutual friend of ours, I said, you know, Jasmine, I think at some point thought I didn't like her. And I said, that's never been the case. She's just not a very personable person. She has her people she talks to and whatnot, and we just never became really good friends, but it wasn't because I didn't like her.
Well, I think she's a good person. She just needs to get her shit together.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Tammy Tarmac.
Tammy is just a mess. Well, I tell you what, when I hang around Tammy, I have the time of my life because she's so freaking hilarious. When that bitch puts some alcohol in her body, you better get ready. Because if she don't like you, you're definitely going to know. And she will just have you in stitches all night long.
Yeah.
Serena
Styles. Give you the shirt off your back.
Serena Styles?
Yes.
I don't know Serena very much on a personal level. I don't even know if I've ever met her. I think maybe once at US of A Classic, very, very briefly. I only know her through communicating on Facebook. I think she's a beautiful entertainer from what I've seen through pictures and whatnot. I could remember her back when she first came on the scene, and she was never ugly by far, but she very much went into this amateur, into this beautiful entertainer that she is today. And she's someone that you really could see a timeline of the change in her and how she evolved as an entertainer. And she did it at
Tyra
a young
Van
age.
Ryan.
Tyra Van Ryan?
Yeah.
Tyra Van Ryan, where is she? I haven't even spoken to her or seen her in ages.
I don't know. Dominique DeLorean.
My good friend, one of the first female impersonators I ever met. And it's actually thanks to her that I ever got on a stage because she pushed for me to get on the stage at Footloose, which at the time the show director was Marcy Marcel. Tanisha Thompson was performing there, Dominique, and Jessica Champagne, whom I don't know what happened to her. But if it wouldn't be for her, I would have never really gotten on stage as soon as I did. Dominique
Saria
is someone that Saria lived with me for a while. We were good friends. We don't really communicate much anymore, not because of any beef we've ever had, because we've never had beef, but we kind of just grew apart, and we stay in touch on Facebook periodically. That's Miss Cookas.
Veronica Lovehart.
Oh, Veronica's my drag mother.
Laura Rose.
Who?
Laura Rose.
Laura Rose is my personal hairdresser. She does L'Originals for me. And if you remember correctly, I tried to get a custom wig from her for you. But that didn't really go over very well.
No. Cassidy St. James.
Lovely person. Good person, her and her husband. Just a
They're
nice person.
They're probably listening right now.
And so supportive of me as an entertainer. I don't think I have done many shows at the pub that her and her husband haven't come supported. And I'm so appreciative and thankful of that because they don't necessarily live in New Orleans. They have a little bit of a drive, but almost like clockwork, they're always there. And I love them for that. They're good people.
Yeah, you know, they're from Hammond. When I won Miss Central Louisiana America, Cassidy came and dressed me, and her husband helped me with some props. And they're good people.
They are, very much so.
Okay, we're going to play a game. It's called Kill, Marry, Fuck. I'm going to give you three names. You have to pick which one you would kill, which one you would marry, and which one you would fuck.
Okay.
Tiffany, Persona, Tammy Tarmac.
Oh, my God. Well, I'd have to kill Persona because that bitch could just get on your last nerve sometimes. Now, not all the time, but I have to look on the worst end here and be like, you know what, if her and I were on this earth, the last two people alive, and we had to be in one room together, I'd kill the bitch. I'd have to fuck Tammy Tarmac, I guess, because, you know, there would be no emotions there because her and I, you know, we've just been friends. Tiffany and I, we've been friends for so many years. We know each other like the back of our hands. I'd have to go ahead and marry her.
Okay, kill, marry, fuck. Brody Mesh, Lisa Bowman, Jasmine SX.
Ouch.
Oh, God. I'd have to kill Jasmine because, you know, we've never been close to begin with, so it's like, whatever. I like her, though, but, you know, girl, if you drop dead, I'm going to still survive. I'm not going to lose much sleep. Now, look, and I have such bad luck. Tomorrow she'll drop dead, and everybody's going to be blaming it on me. So, do I want to retract that comment? Now, I have to marry Lisa because, you know, I think Lisa's a good bride material. She was in a relationship for a very, very long time. I don't know if her and Marcus are still together, but...
No, they're still together.
They've been together for many, many, many years. I know when I first started that little corner pocket strip contest gig, I think they, you know, started in their relationship. And that was, my God, 16, 17 years ago. I don't know. And then, who am I
fucking? You have to fuck
now?
Brody. Brody.
Well, he'd have to be fucking me because I don't have a penis anymore. And, girl, that's so risky because we're talking about Brody Mesh. My God. Can we put four condoms on him?
All right, I have one more kill, marry, fuck for you. Catherine
okay.
St. James, Gia Giovanni, and Dexter, the plus size edition.
Well, girl, I'm scared of clowns, so we're gonna kill Gia. This whole It movie, when this It movie came out, and maybe that's why I had to, you know, call her out because I'm so sensitive when it comes to clowns these days. So we're gonna kill her. Then who was the other two? Cassidy
and Dexacy. I was actually at this arrangement of people by somebody.
Well, Dexacy is the larger one, so I don't want to be underneath her. She'll smash me and kill me. But Cassidy's not a skinny mini either. So I'm going to fuck Cassidy, though, because, girl, I've known her for so many years. Might as well give her a little bit of pussy for being so, you know, dedicated to my shows and whatnot. Give her a little gift with purchase. And then I guess Dexter and I are going to have to get married. I don't even know if I've ever spoken to her or seen her in person, but, girl, hey, why not?
All right. Jay, the old dancer from the pub. Leon.
Uh-huh.
Our friend is also an old dancer from the pub, and Ricky Poche.
Ricky Poche?
Yeah, girl, he told me, he just texted me, said he wants to be in one of your Kill Mary Fucks.
Ricky Poche, he's from the one guy from Homer, right? That's my good friend from Homer that I haven't seen in like 50 years?
No, Ricky Poche is from Hammond.
Oh, okay. I got him and Ricky Poche confused.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about from Homer?
Yeah, I do. I know who you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, he was on the scene when I first came out, and he's actually the one that took me to Kicks. But anyway, so we got Ricky Poche. We have who else?
Jay and Leon.
Okay, we're going to have to kill Jay because he has too many issues. Girl, I can't be bothered with all that. You know me and that drama and those emotions. I can't do that. But let me say that he is one of the best-hearted, most kind people that I've ever had the privilege of meeting. But sorry, you got to die. Poche and who else?
Leon.
Leon got a big old dick. And you know, he contacts me every now and then. He was talking to me while he had a fiance and whatnot, and, oh, he was so in love and blah, 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 blah. But, bitch, like 2 or 3 months later, that love was over with, and he was contacting me again and always wanted me to send pictures of my tits and my pussy, and, girl, I ain't got time for that. If you're a pervert and you want, no, go somewhere else with that shit. But I'll still fuck him.
I'll send
him
pictures of mine.
Yeah, I'll still fuck him because he has a nice penis, you know. And he got a nice body. And then I'd have to marry Ricky because he's such a sweet, sweet, kind person, just a good person. And recently got his new career, I think, working for Delta. So congratulations to him on that.
Oh,
so he's got a career. What?
Yeah. Fancy Ray is blowing my phone up. She wants us to give her a shout out, Miss Fancy Ray.
Fancy Ray?
Yeah.
Who's Fancy Ray?
Oh, you'll meet her when you come down here.
Oh, I can't wait. Hi, Fancy Girl.
She's the first alternate to Ms. Vu Caray.
Oh, my gosh. My little title that I won back in 2005 or whatever.
Yep.
Now, are you going to bring your little crown with you?
Oh, girl, I already broke that up and made a costume out of it. Please.
Oh, bitch. Oh. Is there anything else I need to ask you before we get off of this horn?
Nobody else had any questions?
I think that's just about it. I don't know. Britt Rambin sent me something to ask you, but it wasn't really interesting to me, so I didn't ask. Shout out to him. Some other people asked.
Well, I'm going to be at the show to see you perform, Hunter. I can't wait to see you. I haven't seen you perform.
I can't wait to see you, too. I mean, we got to briefly hang out for Southern Decadence, but there was so much going on. It was so freaking hot.
It was so hot, and I was a little intoxicated. So.
Yes, you were.
Is that all you are, Persona?
What?
Yes, that's all I was, just a little intoxicated.
Tiffany Shoulders. Don't lie to us, Tiffany Shoulders.
Oh, Aubrey was persona too, so don't. Yes, we were the crew of persona.
Aubrey Shoulders.
All right, I love y'all. I'm getting off. I have to run an errand.
All right, love you. Thanks for calling in.
Love you. All right,
but
bye.
Anyway, we are about to wrap this shit show right on up. I'd like to thank our fabulous guest tonight, Hunter Holloway. You can catch her at the Bourbon Pub and Parade for Lipsticks on October 22nd at 8 p.m. It's been an absolute delight chatting with you online and sharing. Thank you for sharing your story with all of our listeners. My name
thank
is Aubrey
so
Sinclair.
Much.
Well, thank you. My name is Aubrey Sinclair. I'm the reigning Miss Gay Fleur de Lis US of A. I'd like to give a special shout out to my promoter, Mr. Leo Black. The pageant is coming up. It's going to be February 17th. That is a Saturday after Mardi Gras in Monroe, Louisiana at Club Pink. If you're interested in competing to be the next Miss Gay Fleur de Lis US of A and securing your ticket to Nationals, contact myself or Leo. Special shout out to the fabulous Miss Tara Guy behind the scenes, Rainbow Radio, Southern Hospitality Productions. You are listening to Spill the Tea as part of our fabulous Rhinestone Royal series. Join us here next Wednesday, same time, same place for, I think it's On the DL with Aiden Down. I think that's what it is. I'm not sure. There's one week that's hosted by Mr. Louisiana MI, one by Miss Diva, one by Mr. Louisiana at Large. And the third Wednesday, which is the best Wednesday of all of them, is hosted by myself, Miss Gay Fleur de Lis, US of A, Aubrey Sinclair. Thank you again, Hunter, for joining us. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Tara's going to play us on out. Join us here same time next month, third Wednesday of the month, for another fabulous installment of Spill the Tea. Thank you all so much. Bye. Good enough.
lie, but I can't help to remember, remember. And if someone knew, I probably figured, figured. Could you still be in love with me? Could I be all you need? Could you please forgive me? I'm sorry I made your heart bleed.
I was a fool to even walk away. I remember the hurt like it was yesterday. Should I walk away, or should I stay? Walked away, now I'm standing here, brave enough to say. Oh, baby, give me one more chance.
One more chance.
I love you till I can't lie no more. Oh, darling, I was a fool to let you go.
Let you go.
I just want you back inside my world.
Do you still stay up real late? Are you in a happy place? Is love still an option or a big, big fat mistake? Are your pictures in your phone?